Hallelujah. Bring your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 21. All right, Matthew chapter 21. Happy to see everyone here. Are you happy to see the person on your right and on your left? You know, you are meant to celebrate a lot of years without worry. Some of you should have been celebrating about 5, 10 years, and then you can't record a day of worry. You know? If you are listening to me very closely and very well, by now the joy of the Lord should have burst out of your spirit by now. You know? And not just what you experience during service. Joy should have been a lifestyle. Today I decided to look like a genuine man of God. Praise God. You can call me Priest Zach. This today I'll be teaching on the priesthood. It's a lie. Praise God. The person on your right, have they told you that they love you, or the person hasn't told you? If the person hasn't told you, ask the person, are you jealous of the greatness of God over my life? Why are you jealous in me? Praise God. How many of you have come to the revelation that there is no problem? Is anyone here who is sure that it is well with you? And the task now is to make sure that it's well with the world. All right. So let's just look at Matthew chapter 21. This morning I will be speaking along the lines of unreasonable prosperity. So look at stepping into unreasonable prosperity, or prosperity that has no explanation. Praise God. Let me show you one place where we saw the manifestation of unreasonable prosperity. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, go into the village, the old KJV says, against you or opposite you. Yeah. And straight away you shall find an ass tied. And don't read the scripture very well. He didn't say you will find an ass that you tied. Right? You will just find an ass tied. Not that they went to take the ass they tied. Do you understand that? It's not like they tie the ass. They now remember that they need the ass that they tied and say, go and take our ass that we tied that day. That's not the story here. You will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them. Huh? And bring them unto me. For if any man say unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straight away, he will send them. All this was done. Praise God. Somebody say, all this was done. Now, if you think this scripture is not a big deal, just come to me now and I will send you to Olowore Motus on the island. Olowore Motors. I will send you there and you help me ask for the key for their G-Wagon. And you will start it and then they will ask you, well, what was the problem? Then you tell them that next week I plan to go to Ado Ekiti for a particular fire and wisdom conference that Pastor Zach needed. And after that, you will send us a picture of yourself. Just send us your picture. Let's see what has happened to your face. But in this case, the Bible says all this was done. All this was done. Well, you know, this is not very reasonable. Eh? But it was done. It was not a very reasonable thing. But the Bible says all this was done. You know, I just kind of see you step into that order where you begin to experience unreasonable prosperity. Amen. If it is in the Bible, then it means that it's for us. Yes, huh? Unreasonable prosperity. So we'll bring out some truths, some keys in this scripture so that we can align ourselves to the truths there and replicate and have the same experience that our master had in this story. So we start again. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, where Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you. Now you can see here that it was not really an issue of going to somewhere where he is particularly famous. In fact, where he sent them to is not even the current village where he was doing a lot of stuff. Are you together with me? So it was not like his fame had grown so much in this particular village and he was riding the people based on, you know, his fame and his anointing. He even told them to go to the opposite village. The OKJV used a different language. He says, go to the village against you. Meaning that you can go to the opposite village and still have unreasonable prosperity. Meaning that your prosperity is not attached to the fact that you are in a favorable environment. That even if the odds go wrong, the outcome can go right. You see, God does not need it to be for the conditions to be right for you to be favored. Many of you believe that. Just like the popular scripture about him preparing the table for us in the presence of our enemies, you would have thought that the criteria for having a table at least will be the first destruction of the enemies so that we can successfully have a table. But we have a God who is unaware that there are people against you. The value of those against you is inconsequential. Praise God. The value of those against you is like a battle between the bushmeats and the elephant. Praise God. What will you do if you see a bushmeat aggressively charging towards an elephant? You know, you will not even, you will see it go towards the direction of the elephant, but you won't assume that's what he's trying to do. You see, maybe he's running away from something and then he's currently blind. He can't see the direction It will be a shocker for you to eventually find out that its intention was to fight the elephant. So there is nothing called for you. You know, I see people talk about when they want to plant churches, it has to be in front of the road. I don't understand where they got the philosophy from that. Is it a good location? The Lord send you, can it be bad location? Can it be bad location with apostolic might? By the time the Lord was, I was missing you this morning. I said, if I, my plan, but I said, how, well, as nice, it's been a while. Today, my plan was if I enter church, I would tell them to just go and look for you for me. I'm happy to see you. And your beautiful wife. Thank you for taking him in. We are grateful. If God is on your side, there can't be disadvantage. Do you get the point now? You see, God does not need it to be everything to be right. Then he will not add his own quota. You know, you remember the story of Abraham and Lot. The Bible says Lot lifted up his eyes and he took the part that was green. What a blunder. Because any part God is a green part. If he's in the wilderness with you, that your wilderness is the green part. That other green part is the wilderness. Praise God. So he said, you can go to the city opposite. You can go to the opposite village. So sometimes when God wants to mess you up, he avests you from what you know. Yeah, it will just avest you from what you know. Yeah, there are areas and things we know that we are comfortable with. That you know that if I'm here at all. But God can remove you from that at all. And put you in a fresh zone. Where you look at the zone and then you find out that your brain does not have information on how to relate with this new place. God does that. You know, that's what God is doing with you. It will just take you to a new terrain. Because he knows that he is prosperity. All you need to do is to walk with him and be on his side. I'm telling you, friends, that place that you are mastering, that you know how to walk out. Hey, when God is ready for you, or will pluck you out of that place. Yeah. You see, God can see a football match going on. One team is winning, the other team 10-0. And by favor, it will introduce you into the team that it is on zero. And it will tell you, that's my team. Because it wants you to know that after 10-0, the team that has zero can still win 20-10. And he's the factor. So he's never afraid to send you to a village that is against you. Those who have triple citizenship as Egyptians did not become prime minister. It was Joseph who does not have country. Because the country had not been formed. They were just a country of 12 people. His father and the children. And now picked him. Because the father, their grandfather had already made their countryless. They said, God will give us one country. They had already been plucked out of the hall of the Chaldeans. And then it was that Joseph that God made prime minister of Egypt. Now, if they told you to write a political analysis of Egypt in that period and tell us the five prime ministers that you think, five people that can be prime ministers and why they can be. You know, you can never go and look for a name in the prison. So when you are thinking of prosperity, I don't want you to think that it will be adding up from where you are coming from. As I the Lord that did this from 250,000 to 500, it will carry me to 1 million. It can carry you from 250 to 20 to 2 billion. 250 to what? 20 to 5,000, then 2 billion. It doesn't have to be 250, 500. Then if I do this course, I would have had more brain. I would be able to apply for this job. Our friends here. Or did my friends go somewhere else? So you can go to the village against you. Now, what I'm saying will make sense to some of you now. What I'm saying will make sense to some of you later. That what is working might not be God's permanent position for you. When the man is ready, he shifts you to a place where your brain will shut down. You see, and straight away, you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and then you bring them to me. And if any man say, ought unto you, that means if any man says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them. And straight away, he will what? He will send them. And it was so. You see? Now, you find out here that what Jesus told him to give as the response to that man was the very principle and reason that made it possible in the first place. That response that Jesus said he should give is a secret for this particular prosperity. And it's called, the Lord has need of it. When your heart begins to catch a revelation of the Lordship of Jesus, and you begin to see him as Lord, know him as Lord. You see, because right now, some of us do not yet know him as what? As Lord. We know him as our Savior, Father, right? Provider. Daddy, where they what? Pampa. And all of that is very true. Or is anyone here God does not pamper? It's very true. You see, but that pampering is not what we use to get this kind of thing we're talking about. It is Lord. One, it takes him to be Lord for him to look at two adults, not children, and tell them to go and untie a coat in a place where there are documents written down on how it's not a big deal to, you know when we say, you know, one of the idiomatic expressions amongst dogs in Yoruba land is mafukupai. It's not that it will happen. Yeah. It's just a way of saying I'll beat you, is an idiomatic expression, but In Israel, mavokukpa is not an idiomatic expression. It's not an idiomatic expression. It's not a talk just trying to say. It's a normal way to execute idiots. Like they will literally stone you to death. Stone. Nobody will cut you with that. Nobody will shoot you. They will stone you, and if you have 100% life, they'll be using stones to be reducing it small, small, till you breathe your last breath. That was Okolofekpa Stephen. You understand? They used stone to kill him. And there were several times where they nearly picked up stone to kill Jesus also. By the time you see, in Israel, if you just see people's hand doing like this, your days on earth is extremely minimal. It's been minimized. So when you're in that kind of a country, and they don't have to go to court. Do you understand? They don't go to court to use stone to deal with you. They do it instantaneously, and then the high priest will appreciate them for doing the right thing. You remember the other time they chased a woman who was caught in the issue of blood, and the plan was to stone her to death, adultery rather, to stone her to what? To death. If not that Jesus intervened, they would have, you know, people who can stone women. They are not normal. They are not normal people. Now, it is in this kind of setting that Jesus now told two elders that some of them already have wives, some of them already have children. At least Peter had a wife, we know that. And they told old man to go and untie somebody. It's not code that they left. And they said, okay, go and untie the code that we left. We now need it. It didn't say go and collect our coats that we kept in Brother Brasolo's house. It didn't even say when you see the coat, go and speak to the owner. You shall find an astard and a coat without, lose them. Now, it didn't even say, okay, I will follow you. When we get there, when I see the code, I will show you. I will stand you, lose them. Jesus stayed in this village, sent them to another village. Another village. I said that. He sent them to another. I don't think these people are not mumu. And they were not mumu in those days. Don't say those days are mumu days. We're not mumu those days. These are the same days Jesus Christ was talking about the parable of the man that they gave talent. And that one was called his master. You are a very foolish, greedy master. When you come back, you will collect this, your money back. You like to sow where you do not reap. So it's not a culture of fools. So it must mean that the lordship of Jesus was being already exercised in the heart of the apostles. For them to be able to, you see, because if it's some of us, that's the last day Jesus will see us. We'll say we have heard from that village, we'll route it to our own village. We'll route it. You know, you can from here go here. You route it, it will link. They will not see us again. I remember one day, many years ago, I just got saved then. And then I needed counseling from my spiritual father. Well, then we were not yet engaging at father level. And I told him my problem. He said, all right, good. Then he said, okay, come back in 1 week or 2 weeks. He said, but before you come back, make sure you have gone on a 7 days dry fast. You can take a bottle of Ever, the big one. He said, put 35 cl Coke inside. You can take that daily for, I I think 2 weeks. He said that when you have done that, then I believe you really want to talk to me. That's Pastor Kuno Lawale. He was the one that did that kind of thing. So you can see here that there are dimensions we are not experiencing because we have not embraced lordship. If we embrace his lordship, the truth is, and the enemy to his lordship is the sagacity of your brain. How many of you know that if they leave you, if they leave you with this, your brain, and resources to execute life, you will do it. You know that your brain is not dead brain. Eh? It's the brain. The brain sometimes is too active and too agile to accommodate Lord. Because Lord, many times, will have you to not go in the direction that the brain is telling you to go to. And sometimes, and also I always advise men that you think God has told you that this lady is your wife. Does not mean you should just go and tell her immediately. It's very dangerous. Because marriage is not only a spiritual decision. You have to take your time sometimes to build friendship so that the person's brain, the lady's brain, you know, because you don't know which one is first for that lady. It might be her brain before her spirit. But even if it's her spirit, you see, that comes first, she still needs to, am I bothering you? You look like, the way some of you are looking at me, I say, Pastor is not interested today. Either am I interested? Maybe I should change this clothes that I wore. Maybe it's the one. I hope the clothes is not making me do like boo boo like this. The brain. Eh? You see, those spiritual brothers, university, then thought they have succeeded. When they use the anointing to date all the girls, then. But after graduation, the babes left them. You see, because in the university, you don't need a lot of equipment, you see, for greatness. Your spirituality has spiritual value. It has a lot of values. But you see, when they leave school immediately, the girl's brain will not ask her spirit. That's how it happens. Because the thing will not be adding up. And then the funny thing is that the guy will still be doing as if he's president. You know, he has forgotten that he's no more president. He will still do, but you see, the equipment, you see, for life to go on in Lagos is different from the equipment you need. Eh? In Delsu. You understand? In Delsu, bike of 100 naira, you guys have gone to and fro. But by the time you come to Lakesu, by the time you come to Lagos, you find that movement in Lagos is a bit more complicated. And then, you know, to do those movements is not very easy. Then our brain will wake her up and ask her spirit, what's all this? And suddenly she will notice a kind of confusion. You understand? Then she will definitely need a break. That we need to pray about it again, whether the Lord is still. Now, before, they had already prophesied about the nations they will go to when they were in Delsu. But when they came to Lagos, they found out we cannot afford the transport fare to those nations.
So I always advise that you need to allow the person's brain. Don't just say, "Thus saith the Lord," you see? And don't just ask the lady out immediately. And when you have asked somebody out, and the person did not grieve for you, to return. For the friendship to return is very tough because, you see, it's like soap has touched you. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. It's as though a type of soap. That kind of soap, it takes a miracle for that soap to wash that soap. Because when she sees you again, I've already... You understand? So you have to take your time. Don't be in a rush. You see? So that it will not even be a case of when you have tried this one, you got to know. You tried that one, you got to know. Then there cannot be a garrison against you. There cannot be a village. It's not a good thing. Are we together here? So is that brain, are you together with me? This problem I'm talking about, even God goes through the problem with us. The reason why he can't be Lord is our brain. You see? And it's our brain, you see, that informs how we use our will. Are you together with me? Your brain informs how you use your what? Your will. Where you throw your will to. You just say, does this make sense? If your brain says yes, then you throw your will to that side. Are we together, friends? But you see, if you are going to experience unreasonable prosperity, you have to get to know him as what? As Lord. That is to say, his engagement with you. Can I talk here? You see, it's not, he doesn't consider you. That's a Lord. A Lord doesn't what? Consider you. He doesn't consider. That's not the basis of his engagement with you. For example, if I'm your Lord and I tell you, you see, to go and bring that shekere, go and bring it. If I tell him to go and bring that shekere, you see, when I told him to go and bring that shekere, just wait there. I'm not considering whether it is time to bring shekere or not. You see? And I'm not considering whether he feels like bringing Sheker or not. And I'm unaware that he was currently eating shawarma. Do you understand? And I will not wait for him to finish eating the shawarma so that it can be a good time to go and get the shekere so that I won't look like a wicked person. Now you see, that thinking is a Western civilization. It is from the knowledge of good and evil. We need to be trained again. A lot of us are trained British, unconsciously. I'm telling you, it's unconscious, but it's your training so that even your judgment of righteousness is coming from that training. So that when you even said somebody is wicked, it's not because God says so. I usually use the story of Elijah and that widow. And the widow told Elijah, "This is all I have." Now, what do you expect a righteous man to do? Say, don't worry. At least it was the angel that brought food for me. So, you don't have that kind of walk with God. Don't worry. When the angel brings for me, I will take some. You understand? I will bring for you. Don't worry. Then everybody will look at Elijah and say, "Kai, what a man. Kai. Our men of God are meant to be like this. That knowledge is from the knowledge of good and evil. It's not the knowledge of God, though. You see, so that lordship is not considering you. Do you understand that? And it's not expecting you to wake up in the morning and considering yourself. Because by the time you consider yourself when you wake up in the morning, you will see him as an interruption. And then the day you do what he tells you to do, you will think you sacrificed. You will think you sacrificed. Why? Because you are a reasonable person who was busy before this Lord came to interrupt you. But because you love him, you dropped what you were doing and sacrificed for him. So your spiritual ego rises. Whereas you should have woken up waiting for what he will say. And then understand that you are here for his command. And that you will wait here. And even if he decides to say nothing, that's the current command. Yeah. Until you break into this type of life, you know what I'm telling you is the reason why you get angry. You see, you have to be a person to qualify for anger. There is connection between your personal greatness and your anger. The day you understand the Lordship of Jesus Christ, your ability to get angry will begin to reduce a lot. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the reason why many of us don't understand this is because we do not live in the era where there were slaves and master. So we don't really get it. If you live in an area where there were slaves, you really understand. You see, when a slave wake up, a slave doesn't wake up to what he wants to do. You know what I'm saying? A slave never wakes up onto his own agenda. Immediately a slave wakes up, he wakes up in the expectation of what will be told him or her to do. You see? He can now be thinking, you see, that they told me to bring the shekel and then they still told me to wait. Does this really make any sense? Do you understand? Why? Because he's alive unto himself. And then he thinks that there might be something. His brain just works that as I've taken the shekel, I should bring it to you. You see? So this brain, If you don't allow the Lord do what he needs to do with you, the brain will lead you away from everything that God is doing with you and on the earth. Yeah. You see? You can sit down. You remember the woman that broke the alabaster? Now, friends, let us all use our brain now. Let's pause on how Jesus explained it. Truthfully. Truth be told. Does it make any sense? Will I not slap someone? Now, if the person says he bought perfume of 3 million, and during the service, open the perfume and pour it around me and say he wants my environment to smell. You know, I will call Pastor Obi's complaint. mind of life, mind life. So please, can you, Timmy, can you see Pastor? If it may be Timmy, that I said, Timmy, can you? I don't want him to see him. I want him to see him more consistently now, in the next 3 months. Now, friends, it doesn't make any sense. You see? But actually, that woman had linked a spiritual frequency. And then she acted out a spiritual action, you see, that the disciples judged with their knowledge of good and evil, that this is but wastage. He said, but when his disciples saw it, what did they have? Indignation. Huh? Now, when you say, what is purpose of this waste? Can you see? So you see, the brain took the action to his theater. And that brain dissected that action and did not find anything positive. So the response to that brain activity is anger. So they were angry because their brain was working. This is the reason why you are angry with your wife many times. I'm telling you, see, I'm taking... Some of us will go there, some of us will not go there. I'm linking you up to spiritual knowledge. Yes. Spiritual knowledge used to bypass brain.
Yes. Look
at the day before yesterday, I came home. I went out for a program. So my wife sent me a text message. She was having some pain in her eye. So she sent me a text message that she's going through a lot of pain, but that I shouldn't come home. I should focus on the meeting. You know, that's a bit contradictory. Don't you think it's a bit contradictory? The contradiction there is that if truly from your heart you want me to enjoy and focus on the meeting, you will not tell me that you have pain. Knowing my response to your pain, you having a residual knowledge of how I always respond to your pain. And then you now give me the knowledge of your pain and told me not to respond in the way you know I will always respond. Wow, Abby. So I left the meeting, I came home. And so when I came home, she opened the door and then she just opened the door and just walked into the kitchen. I came home, you just walk into the kitchen. I'm a very valuable person. You are meant to greet me. She said, oh, I did not know you're on a call. I did not. Oh, I'm tired. That's the one, the first Ella of the... I don't forget I left where I was meeting. And in that place I left, I'm a valuable person. I just want to explain spiritual knowledge. So I said, okay, let's try again. Went upstairs. So did you see my text? I said, yeah, I saw your text. Okay. You know, when people are talking to you without looking at you. I said, that's why I'm here. All right. But did you see the text? I said, yes, I saw it. All right. I was just expecting that you would have sent a reply at least. But that's why I'm here. So those of you who are planning to marry, you know it's a bad decision you are in. I said, but that's why I'm here. Okay. But I just still felt like just an okay, I got the message, would have been okay. I said, I thought you didn't want me, you wanted me focused on the meeting. And so it was after the meeting I saw the message. Immediately I saw it, I started coming. Okay. So, and I said, okay, you want me to be here, and whenever you want me, that's when you're not behaving like you don't want me. You want me. I said, you actually want me, but you are doing as if you don't want me. What's the arrogance for? No, me, I don't want to. You can be going to where you're going. At. You can be going wherever. I say you want me. And I stayed for some few hours and then I left and I got a text. Thank you for coming around. Now, listen to this. Let me tell you a point. Before, I didn't have that spiritual knowledge. I had every right to be angry as a brainy fool. You see, that your brain is working does not mean you are not a fool. The way we connect a good brain and wisdom is strange. Good brain is not wisdom. Good brain, good, because especially for men think that when you process something right, it means you are right. Your logic can be the very temple of your folly. Yes. Because there's logic, there's wisdom. They are not under the same headline. Yes, sir. They are not under the same heading. You can be very correct and you are very foolish. You know, there's a way you can correctly engage, you can be correct in your right with a policeman. And then you meet yourself suddenly in heaven. Okay. Now, you were not meant to die, but you used your brain. And your brain received the bullet for you. And then you are cut off from purpose, destiny, and eternity. And the angels will... Yeah. So your brain can work, doesn't mean you are wise. So what you are seeing here is that they took that action to the brain and did all the analysis, and their response was anger. Their response was anger. So sometimes you need to ask yourself, this indignation, this current anger I'm feeling, is heaven angry with me? Like, is heaven in, am I in alignment? Is he, as I'm angry, is heaven also angry that, yes, the correct posture now is anger? Or you are angry from your brain? 99.9% of times, is your brain that is inspiring your anger. You are alone. You know, in the second service, the title of my message in the second service is, Why Does My Lover Frustrate Me? I feel for you. I want to tell you why. I know why your lover frustrates you. Why on earth does my lover frustrate me? That's the topic. I have it on my tab. I need to tell you why, so that maybe you appreciate it more and just say, okay, this is why she's frustrating me, or this is why he's frustrating me. Why on earth is my lover frustrating me? I will give, because you have been asking that question since. When you are alone, you say, why is this? God has appointed me to give you the answer. For that reason. No, I won't ask you to raise your hand if your lover frustrates you. Are we together here? You see, when you say God, that personality, his attributes, he did not derive from men. He didn't derive his attributes from men. So he doesn't make effort to be in alignment with how men see things. Do you understand? He has his own way of saying things. He advises himself. So we are still talking about unreasonable prosperity. If you are going to engage unreasonable prosperity, you must engage unreasonable life of his lordship. You remember when he told the disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friend. If you go and interpret that friendship at the human level, you will not get what it means by friendship. He calls them friend. Wow. You now quote that scripture and say, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. And God will say, you are not my friend, though. I did not call you friend. Because you, in your own realm, see friendship as familiarity. Yes. But you see, friendship with God is promotion after servanthood has been perfected. So if you are not a servant, you will not even know how to be friend. I no longer, it means that the relationship has now been upgraded. Servanthood did not stop. It's just that friendship has been introduced. And the reason why he said, I no longer call you friends, but I no longer call you servant, but friend, he said is because no servant knows what his master is doing. Meaning that your master will be using you without explaining what he is doing. And that is what will make you conquer. Because you as a human being, you like to know what you are doing. And you expect God to explain to you. When he explains to you, then you will now do it. Because it now makes sense. You see, the problem is not obeying God. The problem is, let God make this obeying him sensible. Hey. You see Richard there. You see Bernard there. Huh? You see Stephen there. You see Rhodes there. You know, say is Ajale Koko Ashomari. Like, look at these fine names, fine people. It's not Ajale Koko Ashomari. I mean, my name is Evelyn. Evelyn. Should not be Evelyn Rhodes or Evelyn Richards. That's the Evelyn Ajanli Koko. And so the challenge is, why? If the Lord sat us down to explain to us why, a lot of us will find it easier to obey him. But you see, it's no more him you are obeying. It's now your brain that you are obeying. Because your brain agreed that was why you did it.
Yes.
So he does. So he's not Lord. So when he's Lord, he will say, that's the person you will marry. I say, all right. Now, when you do that long enough, you will not get to a level of relationship where I want to start engaging you as friend. I will not be telling you why. Because you don't need it. I'm not telling you why because you need it. I'm telling you why because I can now share my heart with you. Oh, Nikoja, yeah. Unreasonable what? Prosperity. You see, the brain will say, why? Okay, so why did he send me there? This shekere now, we did not use it. And I now say, I've just wasted my life. Who gave you the life? Wow. How can you waste what's not yours? Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Are you understanding this?
Yes, sir.
Listen, so, your heart. This is why we are not blessed, though. I'm telling you. This is why things are. This is why heaven is not open, though. I'm telling you. One of the reasons, there are about five. We can't go everything today. We can only maybe do one. Five things we're meant to look at. I'm telling you, this is why the angels are like this. Folded hands over your life is because he's not yet Lord. You keep doing what you want to do. And the only time you obey God is when it makes sense to you. You partner with him when it makes sense. So I tell you that donkeys and colts are still being untied in this day and this time. But it is to people who engage him as what? As Lord. Until you can allow God to take you to a place. You see, God, are we here? God likes to lead us in a place where we are completely done for if he doesn't, you know, show up, so to speak. It takes us. Now, we don't like to go to those kind of places. How many of you are comfortable going somewhere? You know, that's the power of transport money, returning transport money. You know, there is a power when you have transport money to come back. There is a power it has. Yeah. It just makes you a king somehow, anywhere you go to. Say, no matter what happens, say, I can go back home. So why are you talking to me like that? Why are you talking to me like that? The reason is that if people scatter it, you can go. You see, if you don't have transport fear to return, you will take things. It takes this what? You see, God leads us to that kind of experience with him. Where it will just take you to where maybe the currency you have, they don't use it. You will just take things calm with God. You know, one of the things that took me to the pursuit and the search for knowledge, spiritual knowledge around finances, was when God brought me to a point where except it teaches me, I'm done for. I went on the search. I said, God, I'm finished if you don't teach me this thing. But the reason why I could go that way, that desperate, was because I allowed him to lead me to a place. Are you together with me? Where I could no longer help myself. You know, a lot of you, what you call faith is a plan that you are sure God does not know about, and you have decided not to act like you yourself know about. Because if you behave as if you know about it, God can quickly know about it. Is that you who are guilty of this kind of this? I'm talking about. Are you enjoying this Bible study we are doing this morning? Someone said, The Lord. Now, you see, this lordship, the conversation we're having, you see, doesn't happen in a complaint. He cannot be our Lord. Yay! You know, that grace, the grace of our Lord. Out of that, our Lord, the Lord looks and says, maybe just two. I'm the Lord of two people. Yeah. You get the point now. That thing, you have to find it and choose it yourself. When Demas and Paul was doing ministry, God was Paul's Lord. God was not Demas' Lord. The phrase, whose God is their belly, is actually explained as whose Lord is their belly. That is to say, personal satisfaction is what leads them. Okay, let me check if I can say one more thing before. Are you blessed this morning? There's a whole lot. You know, I wish I had about 3 or 4 hours to look into these verses. It's a whole lot. And so, sometimes, the shocker for a lot of us is that when the Lord sends you, you have a very noble and naive idea that because it's the Lord that sent me, nobody will ask me anything. You see, a lot of us assume that everybody is partnering with the God we are partnering with. Not everybody is partnering with the God that you are partnering with. And your following of God is some people's, when they see anybody following God, their brain is sure that the person is a fool. That's the very reason why your father doesn't want you to marry that man of God. Because he loves you. And is that person you want to marry follows God. In his brain, they interpret following God as something that will not end well. So you say, if anybody asks you, you say, sometimes you have an assumption that as you are serving God, people will love you. It's a very, very strange assumption. And it's an assumption of new beginners. Eh? Assumption of what? Assumption of what? New beginner. You see, when you are a new beginner, you will have a very naive soul and you will equate your naivety to love work. Your naivety, you would just feel everybody. I'm telling you, there are people here that what they are thinking about is different from what we are talking about. I tell you the truth. He says, if anybody asks you anything, so it means that you are going to be confronted whenever you want to serve God. Yeah. Now, imagine you say you want to do ministry, that you are calling to the ministry. And after you tell someone, they will say, ask you, so what do you want to do with your life? Is that not to tell you and to inform you that what you have told them you are doing is not a worthy thing to do with your life? Say, so what do you want to do with your life? Or it's just, you know, God is calling me to serve him full time. God is saying I did it. All right, oh, that's beautiful, that's beautiful. So what other thing will you be doing? I tell you. We were at a meeting recently, and then one lady was reading. Anytime the pastor says, read, cause the scripture, one lady will stand up to read it. And then she read it 5 times. Only her. Do you know, as she's the one reading the scripture, somebody is saying, is she only the one? So you can see that just by standing up to read scripture, she has already provoked warfare over her life. I'm telling you, there was somebody who will not like her for that. She just wants everybody to notice her. Now, how many of you have thought in that line before? You are towards someone in that line. You yourself, you have thought. So, to barok pe, in koton bogunwa, in kon la long bogunwa, on tora en yu. To bati didin po fe si yo long. Oguma didin. Oko didin po fe si yo long. Wari ogun. I tell you. So don't, because sometimes when you think that when you do good, that everybody will just like you. No, you are being naive. No, not everybody will like you. Sometimes if you are decided not to do good, people will like you. That's it. Are my friends here? So don't think that because the Lord sent you, are you with me? Now, what's the point of that? The point of that is that you must not interpret, you see, opposition to mean that you were not sent. Because sometimes we back out because there's opposition. No, don't back out because there's opposition. Sometimes opposition is proof that the sending was true. So, if you are going to be enter into unreasonable prosperity, you must be willing to keep doing what you are told to do, even though you are hated for it. That your life must not be built by the likeness, on the base of the likeness of the general public. Anytime you are too carried away, and you are too carried, you want to be liked by everyone, the chances that you will not fulfill destiny is definite. Anytime people's dislike of you troubles you, you understand? When people, how many of you, when people dislike you, you own a kimutu shake. When people's dislike trouble you, the slow motion with which you live life, it will not be small slow motion. Your life will be slow. When I started following the Lord at 16 years old, and I've not backed out. And I will never back out. It was at 16. I started following the Lord. And then some people thought I was just wasting my life. In fact, somebody who I respected the most, a family member, was so disappointed in me. Because you see, when you are following the Lord, your mentors change. Yes, now. If you were trained before, by a couple. A chapel. A chapel was your mentor. You now got saved. You and a chapel are still close. It means that you are publicly saved, secretly unsaved. A chapel cannot mentor you again because the way you believe it will be strange to a chapel. A chapel will say, she will take that brain, but boy. You see, genuine salvation will look like they have collected your brain. Because salvation will turn you to mumu. Yes. You will first be mumu. Salvation will first. And our Jesus has that posture eternally.
Yes.
In Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, they told John, the lion has prevailed. But when they revealed that lion, it was the lamb that was slain. And that will be how he will be for life. There is a mumu state. That there's just a gentility that we have. You see? As I remember, my former mentor then was just disappointed in me that something about brain boy, Elon. They're going this way, I'm going this way. I no longer do what they do. So one day I told him, I said, the plan is this. This is the plan. The way I'm following this Jesus, I have to follow him with all my life because in the future, if my life destroyed, I want life is too precious that it shouldn't be destroyed and I will blame somebody. That I said, no. I said, even if my life is going to be destroyed, I need the favor, I need the pleasure of being the one. You cannot destroy a whole life. I will not have the pleasure of destroying it. No. That was what I told them. I said, so I will follow this Jesus. And friends, when it looked like my own life was crashing and their own life was coming up, actually my life was taking root and their own life was crashing. By the time I rose, they are down. And I'm rising never to go down. When you meet Jesus, he will take you down. He will take you down. But when he takes you down, he will not take you up. Why? Because the up you were going was a facade. Yeah. You see, whenever Satan lifts you high, it's an investment on your crashing. It's his personal investment on your crash. You don't understand. The reason why he's taking you higher is because of the pleasure of how the bang will be. If you are like this, he's not happy. The bang will not be sweet. So he takes you high speedily. Boom! So that when you land, it can be buka. That's Satan's plan for you. You see, nobody Satan ever dealt with in the end. So told Satan, thank you. Everybody who has worship with Satan, worship with Ramon Bain. But there's no one who followed this Jesus. And was not grateful for life. So my point is that opposition is not the voice of God. Oh, that was a good thing I said. Opposition is not what the voice of. Because many times we interpret opposition as maybe God doesn't want me to do this. No. Sometimes opposition is because God wants you to do it. When God called me into the ministry, I told you severally, and I had an encounter with an angel. He told me the first encounter you will have is the devil will come to you and will mock you. That was the first thing. And in the flesh, mockery, you know, when you are mocking somebody, it's almost as it's an assumption that the person is very foolish and you are very wise. But it's not true. The mockery kept on going. But you see, I stayed with the Lord. The Lord kept on lifting me. And those who mock you are going to ask you how you are doing it later. Opposition. So when you want to step into unreasonable prosperity, you must be willing to keep moving against the tides. Yeah. You have to be willing. The Bible talks about, Paul was speaking to Timothy. He says, endure hardship as a soldier of Christ. That is to say, because you are a soldier of Christ does not mean there will not be hardship. And hardship does not mean God was wrong. Endure hardship. You have to keep on going. Have you met people leave their marriages and say, we have unreconcilable differences? You can reconcile it. You can reconcile it. We don't quit because of how we feel. He that sent us is the only one that has the right to say it has ended. Yeah? We don't determine something ends because of how we feel. And I'm not talking only I'm talking about everything. You don't end the thing because you feel you should end it. You only end the thing because the master says this must end. Because he was the one that says this has started. And you see, Alpha and Omega is not a shared title. It's not Alpha while you are Omega. You understand? It's not like my son, I love you. Me, I will collect Alpha. You collect Omega. I will start it, finish it when you like. In scripture, one of the places where the apostle called people fools was that having begun in the spirit, do you want to wrap it up in the flesh? You can't end what God started. You can only end what you started. If God starts it, only Him can end it. And I tell you, God really ends things. That's why He called Himself Ending. Ending. You know, ending does not mean it has end. Beginning. Ending. That's why it's Lord. So when you think when you think you have been blessed, God say, I'm still in the beginning. You see, this morning I'm trusting that you are being imparted with spiritual knowledge. You know, spiritual knowledge doesn't route through brain. No, it doesn't run through brain. I was praying with some of my guys on Friday and we're praying in languages. I said, we need to pray for might so that we can capture spiritual knowledge. It doesn't run through brain. You see, when you capture spiritual knowledge, you'll be forever grateful. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you the truth, if I keep speaking on this scripture, we are never going to live here in 5 hours. I'm not even trying to I'm telling you, it's such a rich text. We'll pick it up another time. Huh? The Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. Pastor Idara will take the announcement now. Don't clap. Last week clap. I'm still using it, so don't clap for now. God bless you.